Pray with us for another spiritual awakening in America and around the world. I'm Delvin Kintzer, and you're listening to VPNRadio.com.
Thanks for listening to BPNRadio.com, and this is Preaching Sunday here on BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Now here's another sermon by John Needler from Round Rock, Texas.
Hello, everyone. This is John Needler, and today's message is called Run Your Race with Endurance. I'm from Austin, Texas area, specifically Georgetown. I also serve at the Family Worship Center in Elgin, Texas, and also at the Ministry of Challenge in Manor, Texas. So today's message, run your race with endurance. And we want to start in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So looking at this, at these verses here, there's a lot for us to unwrap. First of all, I want to look at these witnesses. This great cloud of witnesses. They're cheering us on. They're telling us that this life that we're called to is worth living. They're cheering us on. They're telling us there's more ahead. Keep looking towards the future. It's good. It's worth it. And these witnesses, I believe, are found in the previous chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. And we know these as the heroes of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 40. And I'm going to skim through these a little bit, but I want to hit on certain parts that are relevant to the study. So, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So we're going to be looking at how people put their faith into action. They trusted in this big God who could do great things, who had made awesome promises to them, and they believed God. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's key. We've got to believe that he's a rewarder when we seek him diligently. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing where he was going, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10, for he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So again, we see how he was looking for something in the future. He was looking towards God's promises, and he believed God. He was looking towards a city whose builder and maker was God. Verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She believed God. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from where they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly country. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Verse 20. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith Moses, when he came to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. In other words, he was looking for something in the future. He knew that God had made better promises. He wasn't looking, he wasn't considering the sin that was all around him. Instead, he was considering, he was looking towards the promises that he had received from God. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians did so and were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she received the spies with peace. Verse 32, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword, they were wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. All these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So even though they looked towards these promises and they believed in them, they never received them while they were here on the earth. But now, I believe that these witnesses are cheering us on, telling us, even though we went through all that we did, it's worth it. And Scripture tells us that these light afflictions are working for us a far exceeding weight of glory. Amen. So it's worth it, and we need to look forward to what God is going to do. Now let's go back to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. So when we hear that, we picture a grandstand. We picture a great crowd that's cheering us on. But this word witnesses, this Greek word here is martyris. The word also meaning martyrs, meaning who have borne testimony with their blood. So I believe this great cloud of witnesses are the heroes of faith. They are those who have been martyred, those who were tortured, who were sewn asunder, sawed in two, those who endured great affliction because they looked for an enduring kingdom, one that was beyond this earth. And that's what God is telling us. The Lord Jesus is telling us also to look to Him. Verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So even there it says that because of the joy that was set before him, he was able to endure the cross. And we know that Jesus humbled himself as a man, was an obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. He became sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ. He saw us, and the joy that was set before him, I believe, is all of us in glory together with those who have gone before us, with the martyrs, with the heroes of faith. Verse 3, consider him who endured such opposition from the sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. We need to keep looking forward and believing God. And really what we need to do is get to know God better and better. We need to get to know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not just know about him, but know him. Know him personally. Walk with him daily. Cast our cares upon him daily. Receive from him guidance and direction. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians 9:24. We're going to read verses 24 through 27. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. So God wants us to win. He wants us to run in a way where we'll be able to win. And we need to look at our lives in Christ in that way, that we're running in such a way to win. We're putting up with hardships. We're putting in the hard work. We're training, just like a distance runner would train. And what comes to mind for me is my boys. I have three boys, which I'm very proud of. Two of them were cross-country and track runners. So I saw all the training that went into running. There was hard training, and there was a very tight unity among all these runners because they were in it together. And they knew the hard work that was required, but they were looking ahead. They had anticipated what was coming up for them. They were anticipating a good year. There was some vision casting by the coaches, and they believed that they could go to state. They believed that, and that's what carried them through all the hard training. And so I was looking the other day. I remembered that going to these cross-country meets, a lot of them had these certain T-shirts with certain slogans on them. So I want to read some of these slogans on the T-shirts, because we should live by the same example as these runners. One of the slogans said, "No bench, no timeouts, no halftime. Welcome to my world." Another said, "Teamwork makes the dream work." Another, "Cross country hurts if it's done right." Another says, "Go the extra mile." Amen. I think they stole that from us. Another says, "While running, it is rude to count the people you are passing out loud." So you see the attitude they have. The attitude is on winning. The attitude isn't on just running. It isn't on just getting by. Why would they even want to put up with all this enduring if it was just to barely make it? And God is telling us today, run your race to win it. Run in a way where you can win the race. And he said there that it takes strict training. That was in verse 25. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. So there was a lot of strict training that the team had to go through. For one thing, they needed to go to bed earlier because they knew they had to get up early and run 2 miles or even 5 miles. Not doing what they wanted to do, go out and be with their friends, do the fun things, but maybe there was a surprise run. Okay, we're going to run 10 miles today. Their practices normally started around 6:30 in the morning. They would also spend time stretching. They would even do weightlifting and core exercises to build up their core. And those who win the race are not just physically strong, but also mentally strong. And as we train ourselves to do the right things, do the things we don't want to do, so that later those things become easier. And so that's how it is when you're working out. You're pushing your body so that later it's easier to do. If you start off running a mile or two, you feel the pain. You feel your lungs burning. And then the next time you run, they're talking about next week we're going to start running 4 miles and 6 miles. And you say, there's no way. But as you have built up to it, your body is conditioned so it's able to run the long lengths, the 5 and the 10 miles. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36 through 39. Hebrews chapter 10, 36. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. And But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. God doesn't want us to give up. God wants us to press forward, endure hardships, endure strict training. Another thing that they would do as runners, they would have strategies. They wouldn't just start off the track meet. They wouldn't just start off the competition and run as fast as they could till they got to the finish line. They would set a pace. And there were the coaches would tell them what pace to run. They were anticipating the other runners from the other teams, and they would tell them, you're going to have to pick up the pace on this one. You're going to have to run a faster pace. They would also wait until just the right time to make their move. And I'm thinking of some of the runs like an 800 or a mile run during track season. They would pace themselves, and they might be in fourth or fifth or sixth place or even further back, but yet at just the right time they would make the kick. Maybe on turn three or turn four they would begin to kick, they would build up their speed, and they would pass the other runners and win the race. There was a strategy that they had worked out ahead of time. And God is giving us strategies. He wants us to be aware of our surroundings. He wants us to know the enemy that we're up against. He wants us to spend time in prayer and fasting. He wants us to spend time studying His Word. All these are designed to get to know Him better, to be connected with Him. Again, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And looking back on some of these track meets that I went to, it was always with great joy that I would go to these track meets, because I knew that my son was going to win the race. He was made to run. He was made for that race, and he had trained, he had put in the hard work. And now I was going to get a lot of joy just watching him run. I knew that even though he was in fifth or sixth place as he came around that fourth turn, I knew the kick was going to come. And I was overjoyed when he came through as the winner, as he came up the home stretch. And our Heavenly Father, he's looking at us as we're coming up the home stretch, as we're getting closer to His return. He's looking, He's watching, He's getting glorified, He's getting great joy at what He sees in us. Don't you want to make God happy? Don't you want to make your Father happy? Don't you want to hear Him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done." Let's go to Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. So this is the Apostle Paul. He's saying, I'm pressing on. I'm going towards the goal. I'm reaching out to grab hold of what God grabbed a hold of me for. What's the reason that God saved us? Why did He choose us? Why did He raise us up? Why did He forgive us and cleanse us? He's got a job for us to do. He's got a race for us to run. Verse 13, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The King James Version says in verse 14, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So we're to press on. We're to know our God. We're to know the plan and purpose He has for us. That's why we need a vision. We need to know the plan and purpose that God has for us, and we need to strive for it, to reach out and grab a hold of what He called us for. Also, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 through 12. And I love the scriptures in Timothy because the Apostle Paul was speaking to his disciple, Timothy, and he was calling him to do things. I believe he was speaking into his life, encouraging him, calling him to do things that maybe he thought he couldn't do. He says in verse 11, But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So how many of us have confessed, I'm going to go all the way for Jesus. I'm going to be red hot for God, as Dale says. Red hot for God. And in closing, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Verse 1, In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in the view of His appearing and His kingdom, I give you this charge. Remember, this is Paul speaking to his disciple, Timothy. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am ready, being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for His appearing. So, does that describe you today? Are you looking forward to His appearing? Are you taking hold of that which Christ has taken hold of you? He says, in just a little while, He who is coming will come and He will not delay. We need to run the race to win it. We need to be in it to win it. My boys, when they would finish a long, maybe 7 or 8 mile race in cross country, they would be nearly passing out at the end of the race. And you'll hear athletes say, I left it out all out on the field. There's nothing left for me to give. What will we be able to say at the end of our lives? Did we give it our all? Did we fight the good fight of faith? Did we run the race that God gave us to run? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to give You all the honor and all the praise today. And we just declare, great is Your faithfulness. Father, it's not what we can do, but it's what You can do in us and through us that counts. Father, help us to understand Your plan and purposes for us. Help us to understand that we can't do it in our own strength. Father, we look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. We look to You, Heavenly Father, for everything we need. Help us to do what You called us to do.